Welcome to Just Get Dressed with me, Samantha Harmon, the style editor. I'm an editor turned style strategist and the author of the best-selling book, Just Get Dressed. Join me as we talk all things wardrobe, identity, wealth, and visibility. Yes, I wrote a book. It's called Just Get Dressed, and you can get your hands on a copy at Amazon or via the show notes. In this episode, I'm going to give you a glimpse at what's inside the book, and most importantly, I'm going to give you the scoop on why I wrote it. I'm going to give you some tangible takeaways if you are thinking of writing a book of your own. Prepare to get motivated. I am about to give you a big old kick up the backside. But first, I want to take you way back to the early noughties to an estate in the north of Portsmouth called Palsgrove. This is where I grew up. I always had an active imagination and I used clothes as a way of trying on different identities, as children do. And I also had a real love of writing. My dad encouraged me from a young age to keep a notebook and I would write all of these stories and inspirational quotes. It's the time before social media, now everything's in my notes app. From a very young age, those are my things: dressing up and writing. We didn't have much money growing up. In fact, to say we didn't have much money is a little bit of an understatement. We had no money. I remember one year my dad was working a few jobs, and one of those jobs was as a milkman, and he got tips at Christmas. And he let me and my sisters open the envelopes with tips, 50p's, pound coins, an occasional £5 note. And honest to God, we thought we were rich. I remember throwing these coins in the air and being like, oh my God, we have so much money. Now, we know that our environment shapes our character and it forms beliefs. And there were positives and there were negatives to growing up in an environment like that. On the one hand, it made me extremely grateful for everything that I have. My parents instilled in me a very strong work ethic. It made me imaginative with my style, because if you don't have much money, you have to find other ways of being creative and expressing yourself. But then on the other hand, it is hard for people to get out of their environment. If you grow up without money, or you have the belief that money is hard to make, unless you alter your brain and work on those beliefs all the time, you will always find a way of mentally taking yourself back to where you came from. So even if you go over that imaginary limit that you have set upon yourself, it's like you have a thermostat. And as soon as you go over that limit, the thermostat kicks in and takes you back down to the temperature with which you are comfortable. Now, one day, living on this council estate as a child, I came across somewhere this blue mock croc briefcase style bag. And it had yellow flowers in a silk panel, satin panel on the front. Now, what business does a kid from a council estate have with walking around with a briefcase? Like the original Will from The Inbetweeners. It's absurd, right? Except when I picked up that briefcase, I imagined that it was full of books, books that I'd written. The ideas were not yet formed. The pages were unwritten, but it was like I knew that they were there. I didn't realize at the time that I was manifesting through my clothes. And now here I am, almost 30 years later, to age myself, and my debut book is out. I'm telling you this story because if you're listening to this, you are the kind of person who has some sort of dream. And probably that dream stems from childhood. And it's your duty. It is your duty to get out of your own way and make it happen. At the time of me imagining those books, we didn't have the technology that we have today. Back then, it was quite impossible for someone like me, from where I come from, to publish books, because you needed an agent, a publisher, all these things that kept industries like that secretive and gatekept. But with the rise of technology, you and I have the ability to make our childhood dreams actually happen. And yet here you are telling yourself that it's too hard, it's too complicated, you don't have time, it's too late. Do you think it's a coincidence in all of the time that has come before that you exist right here, right now, in this moment? that time is this great expanse that goes on and on for millions of years, and you just so happen to be here at this very moment at the evolution of the tools that make it easier than ever for you to make your dreams come true. And I know that there is a certain level of privilege in this conversation. I try my best to acknowledge the privileges that I have. Some of them I am probably not aware of. I'm always trying to learn and understand, and I know that not everyone's experience or circumstances are the same. And having said that, I have done all of this in spite of my own circumstances. By all means, you can tell me no, but I will not take no for an answer. And for a long time, a long, long time, as you will discover in the book, I would have done. I did lower my expectations. I did play small. I gave up believing in myself because that's what the world told me to do. And then one day, I remembered who the fuck I was. I remembered that little girl walking around with that briefcase, playing out imaginary conversations, dancing to Wigfield Saturday night, feeling like a fucking diva. And I decided that I don't need to wait for a publisher. I don't need to wait to be picked. I can pick myself. I can be my own publisher. That little girl believed in me long before anyone else did, and long before anyone else didn't too. And if you take anything away from this episode, I really hope that it's to stop waiting to be picked. Pick your damn self. Make it happen for yourself. You owe it to yourself. And no one else is going to do that for you. You know, my 86-year-old nan, she called me yesterday. She's so excited about the book. She's planned out her outfit for the launch party and everything. And I had a feature about the book in a newspaper. She called me because she was proud of it. And she said that she finds my determination remarkable, that in spite of every rejection, every time I've been told no, I just still make things happen. And I started to think, you know what? She's right. I am one of the most determined, delusional motherfuckers that you could wish to meet. In journalism, I knew no one. No one in my family had gone to university before me. I had to work 3-4 jobs at a time. I saved all my money to do internships. I slept on sofas. I went for an interview and the editor at the interview said to me, "You're too into fashion to be a serious journalist," because I was wearing a burgundy dress. I was furious. I was so, so mad about this. And I remember calling my dad on the way home and he said, "We don't take no for an answer. You have always proved people wrong. Do it again." So I went and I found 5 news stories that none of the journalists at that paper had. And the editor had no choice but to hire me over all of the other people who'd applied for that job. Back then, it was a highly sought after job. He hired me. And shortly after that, I ended up getting a job that was bigger than his. Don't judge a book by its cover and don't fucking tell me that I can't do something, because I will do it twice and I will take pictures. Before I became a newspaper editor, there were no female newspaper editors. I was the first one ever in over 160 years of a particular set of newspapers, and one of the first ever in UK history. Don't tell me no. Do tell me no, because it thrills me. It thrills me to prove people wrong. And the same with publishing a book. You don't need a publisher. You don't need an agent. No, you don't. By all means, go down that route. We're going to discuss this further in later episodes. But you telling yourself that you need those things is you waiting to be picked. There is literally nothing stopping you if you have a brilliant idea that needs to be in the world and your content is much deeper and more important than whatever the algorithm is rewarding today. There is nothing stopping you from picking up a pen or opening your notes up right now and getting started. Not tomorrow, not next year, now, today. And it doesn't have to be done all at once. 5 minutes a day, if that's all you have. But you must do something. You must do something. When my nan was talking to me about my determination, I was thinking about why. And I think it's character, yes. Energetics, maybe. I'm a terrible mix of Aries and Scorpio. But more than that, I think I feel compelled to make them proud. All of the people who come before me, who worked so hard, who gave me these brains and this power of articulation and the gift of expression, I want to get to the end of my life, hopefully when I'm old and grey, and know that I squeezed every last drop out of those gifts that they gave me, that there was nothing to spare, that everything that was supposed to come through me, the reason I'm here at this very time on this planet right now, I have given. It's not only a time bomb for regret to not write your book or not start your podcast or not do your business or not do that thing that you secretly dream of, whether it's learning to play the piano or singing on stage. It's actually fucking selfish. It's selfish of you not to do that thing. You have no idea of the culmination of hard work, love, care, and weird coincidence that it has taken for you, yes, you, listening to this right now, to exist here. You are here for a reason, and I know that that gets lost in the quagmire of everyday life, that it's easy to get bogged down in the details, or that you have bills to pay, or fretting over that deadline, or what did Gary mean in that email that he sent me? Please just know, without me sounding facetious, none of it fucking matters. At the end, none of it matters. You are prioritizing the wrong things. Over and over again, you choose to care about the wrong things. And then you pretend like you don't have a choice. You have a choice. It is your duty to create what you were put here to create. No one else is going to do it for you. Well, I'm just waiting for so-and-so to do this. And I'm just waiting for this thing to happen, blah, 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 on and on, placing your fate in the hand of others when you must take sole responsibility. If not for you, for all of the lives that you could change when you do. When I was first working on my book, my editor Vicky said to me to write a paragraph about who this book is for. And then whenever I had writer's block or I didn't want to or I was doubting myself, that I could read that paragraph back and remind myself of why I was doing it. Most writers I've spoken to say that they're surprised that the promotion period is harder than writing the book. But I will be honest, I found writing the book hard. I found it very hard, and that's not something that I care to admit because I was an editor. I used to write thousands and thousands of words literally every single day. I'd bash out a feature in an hour, write another story after that, put something online after that. Like, to me, my ego was like, well, we should have no problem writing a book because we're really good at writing. And whilst I share openly and candidly on social media and in my emails, in my talks, etc., there's something that feels much more permanent about a book. And as much as I wouldn't delete a social media post because I said what I said with my chest, you can't delete a book. And I think as soon as you accept that some people are going to hate your book, the better. The sooner you accept that you will absolutely get a one-star review or some really shitty feedback, the better. That can't stop you. The thought of those things cannot stop you. Because please know that generally, that stuff never comes from someone who is doing more than you. People doing more than you are too busy doing more to be spending their time criticizing your efforts. Anyone who's doing anything worthy, they might disagree, they might have a different opinion, they might be like, that's not for me, but they will respect that you're doing it. They'll be like, do you know what? She's going for it and that's amazing. Fair play. As I'm always reminding my clients, professional athletes do not listen to armchair critics. They're not interested in the feedback of those who've never been on the pitch. And the main reason I wrote the book is that I find it hard to have the nuanced, complex and deep conversation about the clothes that explores how wardrobe is the convergent point of beliefs, identity, history, class, politics and gender and power on social media. Social media rewards quick hits, dopamine fixes, content that doesn't generally challenge anything. And aside from that, I recognised that when it's 8 a.m. and someone's opening LinkedIn before they've had their coffee and I'm there like, hey, did you know that you aren't wearing that dress because when you were 5 on non-school uniform day, your dress got laughed at and that formed the belief that you have no style? It's a bit much. It's a bit much. A book is a way, much like a podcast, of taking that conversation offline and allowing someone to come to the work in their own time. I think people may be surprised that the book is not really about clothes. It's about identity. It's an exploration of self through wardrobe. And another reason I decided to write it is that my work comes with a lot of assumptions. People see the word style and they think stupid or shallow when I and my work and my clients are far from that. I personally think that caring about your wardrobe is the intelligent thing to do. The fashion industry is worth multi-trillions. We have enough clothing on the planet for the next 6 generations, and yet we wear about 10% of our clothes. On top of this, up to 90% of the clothes that we think we donate to charity can't be resold, and they end up in the likes of the rag piles in Ghana. And from a more positive perspective, let's keep it light, what you wear impacts how you're perceived, which ultimately means that you could earn more money by investing in your wardrobe. I've certainly experienced that myself. I always find it amusing when people say they don't care about clothes, because every time they say that, they're wearing clothes. Your interest or enthusiasm isn't necessary when we're talking about an industry that you don't get to opt out of. So part of the reason for writing the book was to end the assumption that talking about clothes is shallow. It's a 65,000 word, almost 300 page, heavily researched book on the intersection of wardrobe, class, politics, gender, history, privilege. Maybe read it and then tell me it's shallow. Having said that, I think one of the things that stops women from writing books is this idea that you need a massive new idea or a revolution to write a book. You don't. Have you not heard of the concept that suggests that all stories can be traced back to seven fundamental narratives? So it's not that you need some new thing entirely. It's likely that your unique lens, which makes the book interesting, is the thing that people want to read. Or perhaps there's one specific line of inquiry that you want to explore. In the case of Just Get Dressed, it's not the way of getting dressed that is new. People have been getting dressed for hundreds of thousands of years. It's the way that I frame it. It's the way that I talk about it. That will make someone think about it differently than they have before. Someone out there needs to hear the thing that you love talking about in the specific way that you talk about it. And that's who you keep in mind on those long nights, on those early mornings when you have writer's block and the words aren't coming and the coffee isn't making a dent in your exhaustion and you feel like deleting the entire thing and starting again. Don't. I promise that when you see your finished book, it will all be worth it. But what's the point in doing all of that work if you're not going to give it the best possible promotion? This episode to hear about how I've secured a bestseller spot, been featured in multiple publications, and running events in the promotion period for Just Get Dressed. And if you've enjoyed this episode, you can order the book in the show notes. And if you want help with your wardrobe or you want to become a bestseller, why aren't we working together already? Check out the links.